me to Ephesians chapter 6. And like I said, I preached on this several times. And I usually took up the whole 10 verses there, 10 through 20. But the focus here is our journey. Not necessarily the armor of God, but being equipped with the armor of God to be able to stand in our pilgrimage. So we'll read 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come, Lord, and we need You. Lord, we need You to give strength to our souls. Lord, for we come in to get strength for the battle. Lord, so may You speak to us. Lord, may Your Word come alive in us. And Lord, that You would wrap us in Your arms. That You would clothe us with Your armor. And Lord, that You would comfort us with Your promises. Lord, that we would see that we are Your child. So Lord, help us, nourish us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, we come with our experiences, and I want us to understand that no one is exempt. I'm not exempt to come up here and tell you that we're conquerors, but yet we don't get beaten in some battles, that we don't get tired and worn. And I'm not coming to you, teaching you as if I'm exempt from it, as if I mastered this topic. That this is a constant battle that we face. And just worldly speaking, before I even preached or anything, I was on my way to Afghanistan in 2010. And I was the cockiest of all people in the sense of my ability. I was good. I was a good Marine. 8 years old, I wanted to be a Marine. I wanted to be like my dad. My dad was Force Recon. He was the toughest of the tough. And I wanted to be him. From 8 years old, I was trained for war. Literal war. I was gung-ho. I wanted nothing more to go over. But on June 8th, 2010... before we even went over, an admin party goes over. Okay, just a few people, they take out the look of the land. The people that was there before them shows them around. They do not do anything crazy because they're waiting on their own troops. They're waiting on their own guys to come and fight together. People who they bled with in training. And on the 8th of June, we got information. And two Marines lost their lives on the battlefield. Two of our Marines lost their lives on the battlefield. And I haven't even been married a month. And from that, when he said that we lost two sergeants, I crumbled. I feared. if the admin party just lost two Marines, what hope do I have to come back to my wife? What hope do I have? You see, all my cockiness, all my arrogance in my own ability was gone. And for that moment, I was left devastated. But then I realized war isn't fought by one person. That I wasn't going to make it home by my own doing. I was going to make it home by the grace of God and through the brother to my left and to my right. So let us know that this passage, when it says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, it's about humility. It's about humility. But the reason why we need to keep humility is sometimes we might get lost in our own selves. We might get lost of who we are. You know, in Ephesians, build this whole thing up of who we are in Christ. Just a couple things I want to say that in chapter 1, we're adopted sons and daughters. Chapter 2, we're not dead, but we're alive. Also, chapter 2, we're not two people, but we're one person. Also, in that same passage, we're not two buildings, but we're one holy temple to the Lord. Goes on, and we can sit there and see that we're one body working together in perfect harmony. Chapter 4, all God's children are gifted. That He gave gifts when He ascended on high. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, to equip the saints. Also in chapter 4, we're a new man in the sense of we bear the image of Christ now. 5 and 6, a Christian is a loving husband. A Christian is a submissive and loving wife. A Christian is an obedient child. A Christian is a kind master, and a Christian is a submissive slave. So we can have a tendency to get a little cocky into looking at just who we are. So Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His great might. There is no strength in ourselves, that we are in Christ. And if we're in Christ, that's where our strength comes from. And here it starts off with, finally, above all things, be strong in the Lord. We can use this, and often I did use it as, this is faith. This is, once again, looking outside of yourself and placing faith in God. That, once again, just as we were saved, that we're saved by grace, through faith, not of ourselves, is a work of God. That this is humility in it. I want to focus on humility, because sometimes, like I said, we can get sidetracked. Sometimes we have faith. We say that we have faith, but we're also a little cocky. We also boast a little bit of who we are and the things that we accomplished. So I want us to really focus. When I use humility, I'm not neglecting faith, is what I'm saying here. As a matter of fact, they're just so closely tied together. But I just want us to emphasize humility. Through humility, we wage this battle. First and foremost, through humility, we wage this battle. And this goes against what we're taught, right? The world comes at us with, no, no, no. If you're not proud, if you're not arrogant, if you're not a go-getter, you'll be laid by the wayside. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. You got to take what you can. Nice guys finish last. That's what I was raised up with on one of my sides is, don't be nice. You be nice, you'll never get anywhere. Got to be nice guys finish last. That's what the world teaches us. But the scripture here says, no, no, no. The strong warrior is that who's at the feet of Jesus. The strong warrior is that who is filled with humility. And we can see that during a history lesson, just of the Old Testament, right? We can see that through humility, David conquered Goliath. Through humility, David conquered the Philistines and all the other armies of an army that was too great for him. Too great. And yet he conquered and conquered and conquered through humility. Through humility, Abraham gave Lot the first pick. Knowing that God will keep his promise, no matter what part Lot picked. Through humility, God gave Solomon the most wisdom. Through humility, Solomon got that. And through humility, beloved, our Savior was crucified. Through humility, our Savior was crucified. Through humility, our Savior conquered. And that is what we see here. That here is a passage of conquering. This is not a passage of losing the fight. This is a passage of, this is how you win. This is how you win. This is how you stay firm to the end. But if you have pride, you'll have other downfall. Nebuchadnezzar was one of those. He looked at his kingdom and he said, oh, this is what I have done. And lo and behold, he came to nothing. Where's Babylon? The Lord raises and he conquers. And through this, I want us to see that through humility isn't just this staying on the sidelines, not doing anything. That is not, humility isn't idle. It's just not waiting and saying, oh, God's going to do everything and I'm just going to wait here. God gives us opportunities and we wait for God to give us that opportunity and we take it because we have all power and authority. Because we have Christ living in us. Let's look at this, the word humility is not idle, and how we conquer through humility. Please turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. Just real quick. And obviously, if you Bible scholars out there know that this is David and Goliath. One of my favorite stories. Kids are loving it. We've been showing them this. But we see that here it is. Humility is not idle, because if humility was idle, we would say that Saul, King Saul, was the most humble man of all, because he was shaking in his boots. King Saul, who was the man who was supposed to step up to Goliath for the honor of God, was hiding, was hoping that someone else would come in. And here it is, a little shepherd boy comes. And this is what the shepherd boy says, verse 37. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And this is where we see humility there. The Lord gave the lion and the bear into my hand. The Lord gave the lion and the bear. And look, David is not done praising God in this. Look at verse 45. And David said to the Philistine, Goliath, you come to me with sword and with spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And then it gets more graphic from there. But David had utmost confidence that this was a battle that the Lord said, go, David. Nobody is supposed to define my name. And you're anointed. We can see this also in other places. In 1 Chronicles, we can see that David, the Lord has given David victory and victory, but David gives the credit all to God. And one part of the humility of David was, remember that time to where he was going to go, he just had a great victory and he was about to go again, the Philistines came back and he was, oh yeah, but he inquired of the Lord. And he said, Lord, shall I go? And the Lord said, no, go around. And when you hear the marching in the trees, then you go, for I have gone before you. I have gone before you and conquered the Philistines, but then I'm going to give them into your hand. So we see humility is not idle. This war is not fake. This war is very real. The armor is very real. And since our adversary is way more powerful than we can, on earth there is no equal. But we are not of the earth, beloved. But we're of the kingdom of heaven. Our life is hidden in heaven with Christ. So therefore, we can. Because the devil is nothing when we come to him in the name of the Lord. When we humble ourselves before the battle and during the battle, the Lord will exalt us. That is a promise. The boast fall, but he exalts those who humble themselves. That's a promise. Once again, it's not idle. You humble yourself, you will be exalted. God cannot lie, and he promises that if you fall on the feet of Jesus, that he will raise you. That nothing can take you from his hand. But we must not think that we can do this on our own. We must not think that we can stand toe-to-toe with Satan. But we must, once again, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And one of the schemes of the devil, if not, I'm going to say, the only scheme the devil has, he's a one-string banjo. He only knows one thing, but he does it very well. It's to get us to not be a humble people. It's to make pride come into our hearts. Because when we think, when we're not a humble people, what's the opposite end of that? It's we think that God's keeping something from us. We're not being exalted, so therefore we got to exalt ourselves. The Lord's not giving us something. This is the schemes of the devil. This is his great plan. We can see that in the garden, right? He couldn't do physically anything to Adam and Eve, right? So he deceives them. And he deceives them by what? Surely God wouldn't want you to stay like that. Because he knows that when you eat of it, you'll be like him. You won't be the one serving to God. God will be serving you. So it's through making us not a humble people. That's the scheme of the devil. And we can see in the garden that Adam and that Eve in particular responded well. No, the Lord said this, and then he deceives them into thinking that the Lord's keeping something from them. And with great consequence, it worked. And we've been fighting that battle ever since, of humility, knowing that God has the best interest in his people. So this is the scheme. It's to keep us from being humble. And humility is our great strength. The devil knows that if we're a humble people, he stands not a chance. He stands not a chance if we are united with humility. And another thing I want to bring out in this passage of finally, be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God that you, keyword you, may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Sometimes we think that we fight the devil all by ourselves, that you, and that Paul here is bringing up this position that this is an individual fight. You know, every day we wake up, we got to put on the armor and we can take on Satan by ourselves. But here, I'm seeing there's more to it than just you. It's a plural you. He's speaking to the church at large. He's speaking to the local assembly at Ephesus. And he even says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is everybody. This is, we got to keep together. And once again, if this is a passage, which it is, a spiritual warfare, if this is a passage of our war, of the Christian journey, then we know that it's plural. That it's singular in a sense because the church is one, but we're one body. We're individuals, but one body. But I want to sit here and say how important this is. I believe it's the most vital point here, is that we just not look at it as individuals, but we look at it as if we're the body, that we're joined together when it works appropriately, grows in love. That once again, we fight a real war, a physical war. I already explained it. You don't win it by yourself. You win it through an army. And here it is. He's saying, equip yourselves. Take up the whole armor of God as a body. Come together. Protect one another. When one hurts, you all hurt. When one rejoices over victory, you all rejoice over victory. We have to be tight-knit. We have to trust each other. We have to talk to each other. You will not win. You'll be distracted. The devil wants nothing more than get the church to act individually. Satan hates you. If you are a follower of Christ, he hates you. He wants nothing more to devour you. He doesn't care if you're an elder. He doesn't care if you're just a newborn Christian. He's going to use the same tactic. His desire is for you, but you must rule over him. So we have to fight together. We have to be one. We got to love each other. Amen. We got to help each other maintain that humility. For we have nothing to boast about. So let us maintain humility. We were dead and the Lord had to save us. We were enemies and the Lord had to make us conquerors. So let us maintain, for those who boast must boast in the Lord. So let us stand firm. No matter the struggle, let us be one. For the lost sheep that goes out and wanders from the protection of the fold and from the protection of the shepherd gets devoured by the lion and by the bear, right? He wanders from the safety of the fold, from the safety of the shepherd. And then the shepherd has to go out and get him and bring him back. Let us stay in the fold. And this fight is hard, beloved. You stand not a chance if you're outside of the fold. You stand not a chance if you're outside of the fold. And that's what I hope here at Covenant, that we would continue to grow in love. That we would grow as mature Christians, working that we may not be deceived from the schemes of the devil. Knowing that we each have each other's best. No matter if you believe it or not, I can speak with experience here that everyone has always ever had my best. And I'm truly blessed to have Mark and Dennis and everybody here that helped me, that when I wanted to go, that I wanted to just, I was in utter darkness, you brought me out of it. There's power in number. And you're thinking, well, how can we feel this way? I don't feel like a conqueror. Are you being humble? Are you being humble? And even when we're humble, we still don't feel like conquerors. We lose sight, as Mark mentioned earlier, we lose sight of that. We need to be continually reminded. You will not be continually reminded if you're on your own. Stay with the body, stay with the flock. Stay humble to your God. And it's very painful, this battle. Like I said, and we don't feel like conquerors because, once again, our experience leads us not to feel that way. The world tells us that you're not conquerors. We read passages to where it says in Revelation 13, it says, and the beast was given power by Satan to conquer the saints. So you instantly feel like you're a conquered person. It's because we're beating up. It's this war is true. But we forget that if we humble ourselves, the Lord will exalt you, even in death. That even if this world is saying that you're conquered, you're weak, you got to stop being so humble. Forsake it, brothers and sisters. Forsake that. Always be at the feet of Jesus. Let Him raise you up. That the devil is armed with cruel hate. He's going to do everything to make you not feel humble. He's going to give you sickness. He's going to give you pain. He's going to make loss in your life. He has the power. Only in this realm. Only in this realm, beloved. So when we're beaten and when we're tired, let us, once again, hold true to the promises. Let us sit there and grow in love with each other. Please tell me over and over to each other. Tell me the promises of our God. Because I don't feel them. So we need to be constantly reminded. Even in our suffering, which is His war and we will suffer. We can see Paul gives us an illustration of this battle. Turn with me, please, to Romans 8, a passage that we all like to go to. Seems that I like to go to it when there's not times of trouble, but But this is a passage that we need to go to in our suffering. When the war wages too hard, when the fight is just too much, let us come here and remind ourselves that our suffering is not pointless, that our war is not has a winner-loss at the end and it all based on you, that our war is already won. The king is seated on his throne. He has won, and we take great comfort in that sovereignty, that we must have a sovereign understanding of our God. We must have a sovereign understanding of our suffering. We must have a sovereign understanding that when we fight this battle, the victory's won. That we read the 28, for we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. To those who are called according to His purpose. And He goes in there and He gives us the great sovereign chain. Those who He foreknew, He predestined. And then at the end of that chain, He says, and He glorified us. It's not a future. Paul says, look at it as a reality now. In your suffering. Verse 18, we know that this isn't a passage where suffering is absent. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that has been revealed to us. And at the end of it, Paul takes such great comfort in the sovereignty of his king, the victor, that he screams out in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us, beloved? So therefore we read in Ephesians 6 that it's Satan that we're battling. And guess what? Satan has no power over you. It was defeated at the cross. He was bound and tied. And all he can do is get you to try to take your mind off of what God has done. He's going to sit there and say that God isn't a victor. If He was a victor, why are you suffering? If God is for us, who can be against us? And we must realize that this battle is going to break out, for we are like sheep regarded for the slaughter. That this is our experience. That we're going to have pain and we're going to have sorrow. And if we do not have an understanding that the Lord is sovereign and that He makes all things work together for good, how will we have the strength? And why would we humble ourselves to a God who's just letting us do whatever? That we humble ourselves to the sovereign God. That we humble ourselves to Him who is seated high above all power, above all His enemies. The earth is His footstool. So let us take comfort in our pain. Let us take comfort in our sorrow. Because we know our great God is making us more like Jesus Christ. That Christ, look what He says there, who can lay any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God. Our King conquered by laying down His life. Our King conquered by completely being humble to His Father. That when the devil said, why don't you just take these stones up, make them into food? Same tactic He used on Adam and Eve, and God said, and Jesus said, this is what the Word of God says. And I'm going to be hungry because I know my Father is with me. And Satan in that thing vanished like a defeated enemy. And we see that it was the cross that was our victory. It was the cross being humble unto death that raised Him, that seated Him on the heavenly places. And if He did so with the Son, He will do those He will do the same with those whom he makes sons and daughters. So we can sit there and praise God in our suffering. We can sit there and say, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depths nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. That we fight this war with victory on our minds. We fight this war at the feet of Jesus. We fight this war with humility. And God will exalt you, brothers and sisters. He will exalt you. Romans, at the end, Paul says, surely the Lord will put Satan under your feet. That what Christ has done, you will experience. But be like Christ. Be humble unto death. Be like Christ. Trust the God in your suffering. God is so sovereign. He made the most center thing in the universe, the death of his son, the victory. He allowed Satan gathered all the people and he turned the people against Christ and they crucified Christ. And you can just sit there and say, and Satan just had a heyday. His greatest victory, beloved, was his greatest demise. Satan's greatest victory was his ultimate end. That's how sovereign our Lord is. So let us take comfort. Let us have joy in our pain. Let us experience victory continually by loving each other. By being there for one another, and by always, always casting out pride in our heart and falling at the feet of Jesus. If you're here today and you know Christ, this is our victory. Our pilgrimage is nothing but victory. John Bunyan in his marvelous book, Pilgrim's Progress, shows you that. That Christian made it all the way to the celestial city, but he didn't make it there on his own. He had help. He always humbled himself to God. Even Faithful and his friends who died before him, he didn't sit there and say that they're not victory. They died unto death. They're already at the celestial city, he says, and I'm going there to meet them. Our victory is won. But if you're here and you do not trust Christ, if you're here and your heart is prideful, that thinking that you can make it on your own, you already lost. You have no chance, beloved. You have no chance, friend. You must surrender. Surrendering is the only way to our victory. Surrendering, humbling ourselves, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. So let us take joy and let us, to those who have not bowed the knee to Christ, let us do so now, because the only thing yet to come is the consummation, to where he puts an end to all things. There is no hope when he comes. So let us bow the knee, whether you're a Christian to Christ. Let us bow a knee to him. And beloved, fall on the feet of Jesus Christ for your salvation. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this great salvation that you have won for us. Lord, you have conquered sin and death. Lord, by your death, by your pleasing sacrifice of your Son, you purchased us. Lord, you have made us sons and daughters for you. Lord, help us to be more like the Master. Help us to be more conformed to the image of your Son. Help us, Lord, to love you in our suffering. Help us to know that you have won the victory and that you're coming to save us. Lord, give us strength to fight this fight. Give us strength to walk this pilgrimage. Lord, we need you. Lord, we're nothing without you. Our strength and our boasting comes from you and the great things that you have done. So, Lord, help us as we walk our separate ways. Help us to not think of ourselves as individuals, but help us to get our strength from you and from the body which you have made, the body that you have made by the blood of your Son. Lord, help us. Keep us fighting this battle to the end. Help us to persevere with your Spirit. Lord, we ask these things, and we know that you will, for you are our sovereign God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.